Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we'll just do a short summary. The parasha, I think, pretty much is quite well known. So we have Yitzchak and Rivka. They get married. They don't have children for 20 years. They start davening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers Rivka Imenu. She goes to Shem Ve'Aver. She's having trouble with her pregnancy. She gets the message that she has two nations. And finally they're born in Yaakov and Esav. And they grow up. And they're very, very different. And Avraham Avinu dies. Comes along Yaakov and he's making a bissel atchulent. And Esav wants it. Mekar b'chay raskali. Vayishava, he swears. Okay, then afterwards we have the story where they go to Gerar and they have vice with a whole bunch of wells and with Avimelech taking Rivka, and he gets into a fight with Avimelech and he gets into fights over the wells. Finally, they leave Gerar and then they have Be'er Sheva. Comes along the Gemara, then Esav gets married to Isha as Yehudis Basberi, and then starts the Birkas Yitzchak. He's getting older, he can't see. He tells Esav, go sharpen your knife and bring for me the carbon Pesach, bring for me some meat. And Rivka does this whole switch. She dresses him up, the first Purim costume. Right? This was the first Nes of Purim. When did the Nes of Purim take place? Well, Pesach.
It's true.
Right? That was when Esther, right? So this was the first dressing up for Purim. Yaakov goes and he gets the brachas. Esav walks in, this revolving door. He explodes, he cries. We say that those tears end up giving him the opportunity to destroy the Batei Mikdash. Yitzchak ends up giving Esav somewhat of a bracha that when Yaakov's not doing well, Esav will take over. And then both of them are sent off. They go find the Shidduch. And Yaakov goes to go find a shidduch. Of course, we know he stops off for 14 years. Esav also goes and finds shidduchim, and that's the story of the parsha. Let's start going through a couple of papers over here, or pack parsha, whatever you want to call it. We'll figure out a name one day. Here we go. So right off the bat, we all know the beginning of the parsha. Eila told his Yitzchak ben Avram. Nobody has Chumash today. Eila told his Yitzchak ben Avram. Avram is Yitzchak. So Rashi says that Kadosh Baruch Hu was tsar klester upon him, Shei Yitzchak, to make him look exactly shkachim shleima, to make him look exactly like Avram, so no fool, idiot, late scoffer should try to make a joke that he came from Avimelech. Says the Chanukah Satayra, the Rebbe of Heschel, he says Azoy. Eila told us Yitzchak ben Avram, when we're about to discuss the children of Yitzchak, what? Yitzchak had children? That shows Avram Hailedes Yitzchak. The Chanukah Satori brings a medrash that says, it's actually a Gemara, that says, Mamzer Einoy Mailed. A Mamzer does not have the ability to have children. He can't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to do this miracle of creation called childbirth for a Mamzer. So even though a Mamzer is not allowed to marry a regular girl, but he could marry a Giyaris, but according to this Gemara, a Mamzer lacks the ability of producing children. So if any Meshuggah scoffer or letz is going to say that Yitzchak came from Avimelech, that would mean that Yitzchak would chas v'shalom rachman v'shalom be a mamzer. Eila told his Yitzchak, we're about to talk about Yitzchak having children. That shows Avram hoyled es Yitzchak. It wasn't Avimelech, it was Avram hoyled es Yitzchak. Okay? So Vayi Yitzchak ben Arboim Shana, he was 40 years old. Now Rashi almost sounds like he doesn't trust the pasuk. Rashi makes a whole cheshbon how Yitzchak was 40 years old. Well, in that case, he was 37. Ganze cheshbonis. Why do we need a cheshbon? In fact, the shlach others, we can't trust the pasuk. God says when Yitzchak was 40 years old, he married Rivka. You got a problem with that? What do you have to work out the numbers for? What do you have to work out the dates for? Zonder Shalah HaKadosh. The Pasuk Rashi is coming to Bavarna problem. Yitzchak got married when he was 40? You're not allowed to. You're supposed to get married before you're 20. I know. You're supposed to get married before you're 20. Gemara says, anybody who doesn't get married before the 20, HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits till he's 20. And then he says, Tipach Atzmoisav. His bones should be like shattered. Big stuff. Get ready, huh? What does that mean? How's it shaykh that Yitzchak didn't get married before 20, before 40? So Rashi works out the cheshbon to show that Rivka wasn't born yet till he was 37. And it was first 37 she was born. She's ain't a royal in a suit until she's 3 years old. Because the Basulim HaKoyz, right? So you wait till she's 3 years old. That was the first opportunity that he had to marry a Zivuk. His Zivuk wasn't around yet. Azoyzok the Shlakadish. And as a sideboard, he tells me, what's Taka Pshat in the 20 years? What's Taka Pshat? Beautiful Pshat. I was mother. What's Pshat 20 years? And nowadays, he has a whole, you know, Nasi project. Yeah, 20 years old. Well, what's the 20? It gives a big limitzchus not to get married at 20 years. Says the Shalak others, the reason for 20 is because why do we get married? Because we're mitzvah in the mitzvah of period of Erivna. Puravu. Why are women part of Puravu? Because we darshin that you're supposed to conquer the world and have children. The ain derech shalisha lichbaish. It's not the derech of women to conquer the world. Whoever is included in warfare has the mitzvah Puravu. Whoever is not included in wars does not have Puravu. So women are part of a Puravu. Correct? Who doesn't go to war? Till you're 20, you don't go to war. Zog the Shlach Kaddish, that's Pshat. Till you're 20, it's ain't Darkei Lichbash. She's just like a lady. It's not Darkei Lichbash before 20. Kol Yitzchak Tzav B'Yisrael. It's always 20 and up. And 20 and up is Roy Lichbash. Now's the time. You better get married. If you don't get married, Tibach Mashiach, what's Pshat? Tibach Mashiach, Zog the Shlach Kaddish. Because he says, really, your wife is part of you. You're one unit, like we discussed. You're one body. You're really one. She's an etzem etzabai. Because Baruch Hu took chava, a bone from Adam. So he says, if you ignore her, if you don't marry her, if you don't take her, your bones are rotting. You're letting her rot. She's separated. If your finger comes off, they say, quickly, put it into chvezes. Well, your tooth comes out. Put it into milk. You got to preserve it because it's going to rot if it's separated from your body. So at 20 years old, when you're supposed to be unifying with that bone that you lost, if you don't unify, it begins to rot. That's Tibach Atzmai. Is based on this? I don't know if nowadays a 20-year-old is Roy from Muhammad either, even though in the army now they have Shiyadim, all these people fighting the army. But when you're mature enough in the army, you're mature enough to get married. You don't have to rush it at 20 or before 20. Azayzak the Shalom. HaKadosh. Okay. So, strange thing, Rivka feels this difficult pregnancy. She says, Im kein lama ze anochi. Why was it worth it? And everybody asks, what's pshat? Because she has a little problem with her pregnancy. Lama ze anochi, okay. So some say the part is that she sensed this confusion. It's running after Avodah Zarah, running after Beis Medrash. It's not worth it. I'd rather have two separate kids. She was happy to hear two separate kids, one good, one bad, than to have a famishta mishugana kid. Listen to two beautiful pshatim. Lama ze anoichi zog dem agala amukois. Sorry, Yimeinu saw that she was like a tikkun of Chava. She was like a reincarnation of Chava. And she was destined to have two children. One like Kayin, one like Heva. One's going to be a good guy, one's going to be a bad guy. Zog dem agala amukois. Because she saw that, she decided she's going to try to enact, and sometimes we could do this, you could model something down here, which is where idol worship comes from, where you model something down here, and it does things up in the heavens. Zogta Megala Mukais. When Rivka slipped off of the camel in last week's parasha, she lost her basulim. She started bleeding. And Yitzchak was choshed, and maybe it was Eliezer. He owed her a brach. That's why Eliezer lived forever. We spoke about this last week. But when she slipped off the camel, Zogta Megala Mukais, she did it on purpose to ruin her basulim, she bleed, and that should enact up on heaven a nafel. That the bad kid that's in her should go away, should be a nafel. She was hoping to enact that by ruining her basulim. But now that she taka sees that the bad is still in her, she said, Im Kain, why did I do that to myself? Lama ze anochi. Why did I go and ruin my basulim, have my husband be choshed me a little bit? It wasn't worth it. I'd like to add to this also, perhaps you could say, that we say, just like by a soita, when the husband is choshed b'ksheim on his wife, she ends up being blessed with wonderful children. So you could say also along the same lines, when she lost her basulim, she caused her husband to be choshed, but it was worth it. She'll be blessed with good kids. Now she sees she has a kid that's wanting to base up in the Zohar. It wasn't worth the chashad that I caused myself by falling off the camel. Azoy zok the megalamukis. The first half is the megalamukis. Not a pshat zok the chida. along the same lines. Listen to this. Also, she was a Gilgal of Chava. Listen to this. We have a Masaira that women that are tzidkaniyos do not suffer the curse that Hashem put on Chava. Hashem put on Chava be'etzev tel dibanim. Childbirth, labor is going to be difficult. But that curse of Chava does not apply to people that very staunchly support the Torah of their husbands and their children. People that are not involved in the pigam of Chava, tzidkaniyos, they're not going to have that tzar. Listen to this beautiful chidah. Zag the chidah. When a person has a tzar and he's a good person, what's somewhat of a consolation? Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mis'avel etfilos and shel tzaddikim. I'm a good guy. Why am I having tzaris? Hashem wants to hear me pray. Hashem loves my prayers. So that's why I'm having tzaris. The Medrash says, why were all of our mothers, the four mothers, they were all akareis? They all couldn't have children? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the tefillot of tzaddikim, right? So she says like this, I always thought I couldn't have kids because I was a tzidkaniyos. And Hashem wants me to daven. Hashem wants to hear my beautiful koil tefillah besides the koil kol Yaakov. Hashem wants to hear my koil tefillah. But now that I'm suffering in my pregnancy, by the way, I'm not a tzidkaniyos. Because if I'm a tzaddikus, tzaddikuses don't suffer be'etzev tel dibanim. Well, if I'm not a tzaddikus, then why did I daven? Though I thought I was having all this tzara just to get me to daven because Hashem loves my tefillahs. But if I'm not a tzaddikus because I'm suffering, imgei lama zanoichi, why was I in akara and then daven to get out of it? It's not out of love that Hashem is doing this to me. I must be a loser. I'm not a tzaddikus. That's what she said to herself. Zag de chida, what takip shat that she suffered? We know she was. She's being humble. Shkayak. But we know she was a tzadkanius. How is it possible that she taka suffered? Zag de chida, because she was a gilgal of chava mamish, she couldn't free herself out of that gzera. Typical women, we say, if they're a big tzadekis, they won't suffer the curse of chava. But she was chava reincarnated. The Mela, the curse was on her, even if she is a tzaddikus. Mela, she had this curse, even though she was a tzaddikus. And says, Dr. Chida. Okay, they go, they have the children, and it says, Vayikru, they all called Esav's name, Vayikru Shmoy Esav, they all called him Esav, and Vayikra Shmoy Yaakov. Yaakov was named by his father. That's the Minig Yisrael. Vayikru Shmoy Yaakov. Esav was named by the people. Everyone called him Dun. Right? So simply, like the Medrash says, everyone saw this kid, you know, he's got teeth, he's got facial hair, this kid, oh my gosh, he's well done. What a name. They called him well done. Awesome. Esav. Zakhtar Chaim Kanievsky, a little extra tidbit to this. It's brought down in the Medrash that when Yitzchak came to give a bris milah to Esav, Esav kicked, and Esav fought, and Esav pushed away, and Esav did not allow himself to get a bris milah. And even as he got older, Yitzchak tried to be mashpi on him, to have a bris milah, and he grew up as an orel. He never had bris milah. The Meila, Zakhtar Chaim Kanievsky, the parents normally give the name at the bris, but he didn't have a bris. So he just earned himself a name by the general public called Esav, because he never had a bris. This comes into play a little bit later on also. Towards the end of the parsha, it says, he told Esav, take your kalim and go and bring for me zamit. So the Medrash says, take your kalim, zu hashchotzat hazakim, sharpen your knife, so that the chalev shouldn't have a niche, so you can create a treifa. For every tzvi Pesach Frank, a beautiful question. One second. If Yitzchak now is being chosh at Esav, that maybe he has a treifa knife, obviously he wasn't so fooled by him, right? So then there's a lot more things to be cautious. Is he salting the meat? Is he doing nikkur gidanasha? Maybe he's getting a trade by animal. If you can't trust him, you can't trust him. God's emphasis, sharpen the knife. Why the knife? So if she pays a frank and interesting alaka. No. As the pasuk says, Yitzchak was fooled somewhat by Esav. He knew Esav wasn't a tzaddik, but he didn't think he was so horrible. But there was one thing he did know. He knew that Esav was an oral. And there's a halakha. Mumur arelus. If someone defies bris milah, chayev livdoik sakinoi. You have to check his knives. This guy is scared of good knives. You know, he didn't want to bris milah. he doesn't like good knives. You have to be chayshid his chalif. All the other halachas and kashrus you could trust him for. But a mumur la'arla, you cannot trust his knife. Memela Yitzchak knew about the arla because he tried giving you a bris milah and never worked. That he knew about it. He said, I can't trust your knife. Make sure to sharpen your knife. Okay.
Maybe the Ruach HaKadosh comes the Kaich of the Bris Milah. The father gets the Ruach HaKadosh. And if he doesn't have
a okay, Ruach. Could be. Could be nice, yeah. Okay, weiter. So Yaakov was an Ish Tam Yosef HaHalim. I have to share this with Moshe. I think I say it every single year. Zogar Moshe, Ish Tam Yosef HaHalim. A simple, pure person who just sat and learned. What makes a gadol? This chumrah, that trick, Yeneskula, fast 40 days, go to the Kaisel 5,000 days, go to Yenekever, we have 50 million tzitzis. Sit and learn. Period. Bechir Sheba Avos. He was considered the most select of all the three Avos. Yaakov was the greatest. No tricks, no additives, no preservatives, no spice. What was his midah? He just sat and learned. Hama'or Sheba, the light that's in the Torah, has the most powerful effect on you, more than all the tricks and kavers and umans and everything. Not any of these things are bad. But if a person's dedicated just to learning, he doesn't need any other tricks. As they Zakir Moshe. People are not dedicated to learning, perhaps need tricks. But okay. Dayav! So Yitzchak loved with the verb. They say it was a positive action of love. It wasn't love. While Rivka loved, she had a love for him. One's like a verb and one's like an am. The Maharil Diskin says a beautiful thing. Simply put in the pasuk, it sounds like he loved him because he gave him good food. So the Maharil Diskin, a beautiful pshat, says no, he didn't love him because of the good food. The fact that he ate Esav's food was a raya that he loved him. Because he wouldn't eat the food if he was choshed that he's a rasha. He would be choshed that it's treif. If he would have known that Esav was an apikoros, that Esav was an oivet avodah zarah, the meat becomes treif. So it's not vayehav Yitzchak as Esav because Saibaviv. How do you know Yitzchak loved Esav from the fact that he ate his meat? It's the charaya he held of him. What's taka pshat? I speak this out every single year. The pshat of the holy sheikhet. Do you remember the pshat? Oh, this sums up the whole parasha, and mamash out of chavivas have to say it every single year because you can tan from it, and I'm crying. I should rise kriya that anybody forgot this prat ever. Okay, Yaakov goes and he tricks his brother out of the bechayir. He gets the brachas. It's such a trick. How's even the bracha chal if it was a mistake? It was a mekatosis, the wrong person. What's going on over here? Listen to this, a bomb kasha. How's it shayach that Yitzchak even ate Esav's meat? If Esav taku was apikoyres, it's treif. And the Gemara says, God does not allow a tzaddik to have tray for food in his mouth. Even ba'inus, even b'shoigei. A tzaddik can do things wrong by mistake, but not tray. As I state, it's considered a bezoin, it's considered a disgrace, Taisva says. Food, non-kosher food going in the mouth is a horrifically disgraceful thing for a tzaddik, and God will protect the tzaddik even from the biggest mistake. And there's stories in the Gemara about tzaddikim, things worked out, it didn't end up in his plate. It didn't end up in his plate. It's how the Shaykh Taka that Esav is making in the food, and Esav is not because, which means the shechita is garnished, even with a good knife. It's no good shechita, and Yaakov's eating, and Yitzchak's eating it. Teretz is Zokta Medrash, two different Medrashim. Teretz is Esav knew that if he would present the meat to his father, he's not going to touch it. Things won't work out. It'll fall, it'll go missing. It won't end up happening. Because Esav knew he was a good guy. His head was good, right? He knew that God protects tzaddik from eating treif. And he knew that his shechit is treif. So Esav would come to Yaakov and says, Yaakov, you don't want Tati to eat treif, do you? Yaakov, do the shechita, please. Yaakov would do the shechita. And Yitzchak Avinu loved Esav Kitzai Befiv. It's Chassidus of Pshat. We got to mix in some Chassidus over here. Yitzchak sent the Kedusha of the Holy Shaykhit. And he thought it was Esav. Esav, I could sense so much kedusha in the meat that you served me. You must have holy kavanos. You must be like way up there in the heavens when you do the shechita, the tikkunim that you're doing in the meat. Wow! He thought Esav was like a hidden tzaddik. So vayev Yitzchak as Esav, ki tzayid befiv, but he didn't realize that the real shechit was Yaakov. So when he wants to bless Esav, the holy shechit, who's bringing him this holy meat, who's the bracha really going to? Yaakov! He's the one that's the actual holy shechit. Yaakov rightfully deserved the brachas the whole time. Beautiful. I don't remember where I saw this pshat. It's a chassidish pshat, but kafta v'ferach, mamish. Perfect, no? Okay. So he comes in. And he's, oh, how did he talk? He tied the fifth says he tricked his father with his mouth. Why would he ask him all these shaylas? First up, zog this fast emes. How do you get meiser and salt? Come up with some other chumrah, you know, like, oops, a meiser and salt. Says this was also part of Esav's whole ploy. He was trying to present himself as if the Indian of meiser is, like we just said, the letter yud represents spirituality. When you take off a tenth of something, it sanctifies the entire thing. That's why all your money is blessed when you take off a tenth. So the Indian of meiser is elevating the thing that you've taken the meiser from. So normally, there's meiser behema, and it elevates your flock. There's meiser in the crops, and it elevates your crops. But is it possible to elevate a domain? A non-life entity? Are there sparks in Kiddush over there that it's possible to elevate with meiser? The truth is no. I'll call karbon chatak of melech. When you're mekarev to Hashem, when you're a bal atayr, when you're bringing a karbon, then even the doimim is nisala. Not only the karbon goes up on the mizbeach, but the salt goes up, even the doimim goes up with it. But Esav was trying to present himself. You know, I'm involved with Gashmi instead. I go hunting. I like going out to the field. I like chilling. I like vaping. I'm a Gashmi is digger guy. But I elevate the Gashmi is. I want to give Meiser on salt. I want to even elevate the lowliest parts of the Bria. Doimim. And that's what Yitzchak thought. And that's also why Yitzchak thought he could give the brachas to Esav. He thought Esav and Yaakov would have a beautiful relationship of Yisachar Zevulun. Yaakov would learn Torah all day, complete spirituality. Esav would go out, make the parnasah, and support his dear brother Yaakov in his learning. Let me bless Esav's olam hazeh so that he could support Yaakov. He didn't know Esav had such animosity to Yaakov. Only Rivka knew that, so she stopped it. But the original intent was a beautiful partnership. Esav is involved in olam hazeh. He'll elevate that by providing the needs of Yaakov. That was what Esav was trying to do by asking about the meiser and salt. So he comes in and he asks Yaakov, Halitaini, no, no, pour. Halitaini is what we use for the camels in last week's parasha. That's when you pour tons in one shot. It wasn't serving. Esav went like this, like a camel, and brought down camels. Because I didn't. The satan, we saw that's a tumah. Open my mouth, just pour it in. Zog the Shalach Kodesh, we have to learn a Musa from here. We all know in front of a lot of shuls, by the Chazin or a big sign, Dalif Neimi Ata! Oimeid! Says the Shalach Kodesh, Dalif Neimi Ata Oichel! Zeh HaShulchan, Hashem Lefnei Hashem. A proper table is like a Mizbeach. Hashem's presence. Shnaim Sheyoshvim, we just did this by Mishmah last night. Shnaim Sheyoshvim, Yesh B'neim Divrei Torah. Two people that are sitting by a meal and they say Divrei Torah. It's mamash like a karbon. When you eat, the Shechina is there. Eating can be a tremendously holy experience. Dalav Neimiyata Oicha. Know who you're eating in front of. And this, he says, that's Pshat. The Bnei Aroin were Vayoichlu, Vayishtu, Vayechazu as Elikim. Right? So Rashi teaches it that it was an Avera, that they were experiencing the Vua, and they were like casual with it. They were taking like physical pleasure out of that experience. As always, like Rashi. But the Shlakadish, I said this from the Shlakadish? Yeah, the Shlakadish takes this with a little twist, like the Badichever. The Badichever one time was walking by a wagon driver, and the guy was fixing the axle of his wagon. And he's under the wagon, in the mud, fixing the axle, and as he's fixing the axle, he's davening mincha. Now any of us would say, what a low life. That's how you daven mincha. And the B'dichever said, look at Yahila Geyidim, such special Jews. Even when they're in the mud fixing an axle, they can't stop talking to you. Zog the Shalah HaKadosh. Vayoichlu, vayishtu, vayechazu. Es Elokim. They were eating, they were drinking, but they saw Hashem, Shavizi Hashem, Nekdi Summit, when they were eating. It was a positive Zach. You have to eat properly, with modesty, with shinkite, with refinement. With that vis and vita essen, like you're standing in front of Melech Malkim Malkim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so we got a little Moser. There's a Medrash that says that Yaakov Avinu was Moser Nefesh, this whole thing, then the Zidat Hashem swear. Why was he putting in so much effort in order to get the Bechaira? So the Medrash says, because not because he wanted the Bechaira, but he felt it was a bezoyan for the Bechaira to be in the hands of Esav. Frecht one of the Farshim, I forgot who, Vos Epis is considered a serious nefesh. I mean, what do you do? He tried to try making a business deal. The fact that there was any trickery whatsoever was against the grain of Yaakov. Yaakov was Ishtam. Yaakov is Ish Emes. Titan Emes LeYaakov. To go against your grain is called Mesiras Nefesh. When you have a mitzvah that rubs you the wrong way, that's where you cash in big. That's Mesiras Nefesh. Whatever your challenge is, that's called Mesiras Nefesh V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're literally giving up your life's energy because it goes against your grain. That's Mesiras Nefesh. Okay, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says, you see from your Moyadika lesson, that it's possible for a person to sell off eternal reward for a bowl of stew. And he says, people do it all the time. We're attracted to a little temporary enjoyment, and we sell off for Olam Haba. Famous bar from Chaim Shulevitz. My father told me when he was in the Mir, in Yerushalayim, there was a way that American Bachrim were able to make some money. How did they make money? He said that people were importing air conditioners and refrigerators. But to import them, there was a massive tax for Israelis. But if you held an American citizenship, you were putter from these taxes for some reason. So Israelis were coming to American Bachrim in the Mir and telling the Bachrim, come here for 10 minutes, sign these papers, whatever it is, do this for me, and you'll be saving me whatever it is, 100 shekel, and I'll give you 20 shekel for saving me the money. Black market stuff, you know, and the boys would be—they'd make 20, 50, 100 shekel for going out for 10 minutes. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz saw that this was going on in the base of Medrash. Every once in a while, a bachur would come in, and bachur would go out. 10 minutes later, came in, and Rav Chaim Shmulevitz said, "Every word of Torah is worth neitzach netzachim, millions, bazillions, gazillions. You can't imagine what one word of Torah is. But by you going out and missing 10 minutes of learning." You could read probably about 500, 1,000 words in 10 minutes. You're pricing 1,000 words that God only is going to have to pay you 50 shekel for it. You could price your own price for your mitzvot. If you're willing to give up a mitzvah for a couple of shekel, you're pricing what mitzvahs are worth to you. And you're giving God a very big discount. Don't sell off your eternal reward for a bowl of stew. Zayzakt, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar.
Word for a second, okay. You think that is a problem taken for the Medina. That's not a mitzvah. I'm not worried.
Okay. Running out of time. I have to share with you the stipler. You got to hear the stipler. When Avimelech comes after Yitzchak, Perik Chavav, Pasuk Chav Zayin. So he says, why are you coming to me? You hate me. You sent me away from Gerara. You guys were jealous, all the wells, this and that. You kicked me out. Now you're coming back to me? We saw God is with you. You're very successful. You're a good guy. And they continue to say, let's make a bris. We didn't touch you. We only did good for you, and we set you off in peace. Friend, the stipler, what's going on? It sounds like two kvetchy people. Yaakov says, you hate me! You kicked me out of your land! No, we loved you, and we sent you off in peace. What's going on here? So the stipler, beautiful. Yaakov Avinu, if you would go into somebody that's a good person, and the good person chases you out of the house, he's chasing you out, obviously, because he doesn't like you. He doesn't think you're good. But if you would go into Gaza, into Hamas territory, and a Hamas guy says, get out. It's because he loves you. He's saving your life. Says Yaakov. Yaakov says, I'm going to down you guys, Lekavskos. You guys are good people in Gerar. And if good people kicked me out, it's because you hate me. So you guys kicked me out because you hate me. They said, no. We know the true beef over here. We're bad people. We sent you out for your own good. It was an act of love kicking you out. So he sucked the stipend. Okay, Bissel weiter. Hakol Kol Yaakov. Frag the Chanukah Satoira. Hakol Kol Yaakov Adayim De Yosef. So we know, when the Kol is called Yaakov, say goodbye to Yosef. But when there's no Kol, simple reading of the Pasuk sounds like, when Kol Kol Yaakov, there's Yadayim De Yosef. What's going on here? The drasha doesn't seem to stim. So he says like this, Zakar Chanukah Satoira. When Moshe Rabbeinu, listen to this, Moshe Rabbeinu is fighting Amalek, says, when Moshe Rabbeinu lifted his hands up, right, then Klai Yisrael won. When he put his hands down, Klai Yisrael lost. Zakta Chanukah Zatayra. How do you read the Yadayim of the Pasuk? If you read the Yadayim as part of the upper part of the Pasuk, okay? So it's HaKol Kol Yaakov HaYadayim. If you have Kol Kol Yaakov, the Yadayim are also yours. And you're safe. But if the hands are down, if you look at Yadayim at the second part of the Pasuk, so then it's HaKol Kol Yaakov, separate. And if it's not so good, Yadayim Yaday Esav. You got to lift your hands in learning. The hands are showing, representing Chiyus in learning. It says a halakha about your hands, the maritimim. We're going too much over time, but I have to share Gematria. You got to hear this Gematria. So first of all, Zecher Levraka, Rav Yaakov Raiden, he shared with me from Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. Ba'achicha b'mirma! Your brother came with trickery, and he took the Bukhaira. What's b'mirma? 287. What's Gematria 287? Avin Kaiman. Zag Yaakov. Zag Yitzchak. Ezer, I know you want to give me some food right now, but your brother had a zat trick up his sleeve. He gave me Avin Kaiman. I can't eat anything anymore. No bracha. I can't even eat your meat, because your brother came b'mirma. And he gave me Afi Kaiman, Gematria 287. That was a trick of Yaakov, so that Yitzchak would not be able to eat Esav's food when he comes in. Do another Gematria? Huh? Yaakov brought everything in already. Now Esav ran out, he came in late. That was the whole story. They missed each other. Yeah, it's too late. Oh, he's going to bring Trave later. Yeah. Okay, one more. It says, Vayechra Yitzchak Harad Gedoy Lad Moed, the mamash was terrified. Who did I just give the bracha to? He realized something was mixed up. What did he see when Esav walked in? Rashi says he saw the Pesach of Gehenim open up. Vayechra Yitzchak Harad Gedoy Lad Moed, his gematria, Ra'a Gehenim Psucha. Gevir Samtiv, Yitzchak gave the bracha. I already made your brother, authority upon you. So Rashi, any bracha I give you now is a lost case. Because once I made Yaakov your Lord, once I made Yaakov your Adon, Kol Masher Kana Eved Kana Rabbi. Anything I give you is not going to work anyway. Zokta Steibler, Gevir Samdiv is Gematria, Masher Kana Eved Kana Rabbi.
I mean, the case is the money thing. What if the guy goes?